And it says, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall all the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, of course, we've looked at this verse in detail, and we found that the word house, the Hebrew word bayith, literally means family. It doesn't mean a wooden structure with walls and a doors and a roof, but rather it refers to a family. Through wisdom is a family built or repaired. By wisdom it is builded, by understanding it is established, and by knowledge all the chambers are filled with good stuff. God wants your family to be full of precious and pleasant riches. He wants it to thrive. He wants it to be blessed. He wants it to do well. Well, since He is the manufacturer, if you will, He has been so gracious as to provide us with a little owner's manual. And we can find out how to build a family or erect a family or repair a family properly just by following what's in the owner's manual. Now, my job as a pastor is to take that owner's manual, share the information that's in the owner's manual so that you understand it, number one, and so that you know how to apply it, number two. It's one thing to be able to quote Scripture. Well, the Bible says such and such. Well, that's nice. But do you know how to do that? Do you understand it? And do you know how to put it into practice? If you don't, all you are is religious. But if you know how to put these things into practice, then you've begun to live a life of excellence where God's Word becomes a living thing to you, not just ink on a page. Now, turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3. Oh, thank you, Janet. Thank you. 1 Peter chapter 3. And last week I talked about love and relationships, and I really don't have time to go back over all this information that we've covered so far. If you missed a session, get the CD. They're in the bookstore. But 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're talking about some practical things when it comes to love and relationships. We began in Ephesians chapter 5 where it says, you know, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. There's more emphasis on husbands loving their wives than there is on wives submitting to their husbands. Submission is not a dirty word. It's nothing more than the reception of authority. In other words, God has called men to lead. Everybody say lead. There's nothing worse than a family where a man, a husband, a Christian man, is not leading his family. That's all I'll say about that. Amen. And I've seen situations where the wife has taken the lead in the family. Nothing wrong with that. But many times they've done it because they had to. Because they have no confidence in the husband to lead. So my job is to raise up leaders in families, all right? Now, if you're a single parent and there's no husband in your family, you have to lead. You better lead. You do what you need to do according to the Word of God to have a blessed family. If you're a single husband and you have a family, well, now you really got to sharpen your leadership skills, if you will. All right? Now, I'm going to talk about some practical things, and as I said in my disclaimer for the last 3 weeks, if any of these things get too close to home, just smile and look straight ahead, and nobody will know it's you. Okay? Nobody will know. Just smile, say, praise the Lord, and just look straight ahead. 1 Peter chapter 3, I want to show you something here, and this is where we ended last week. And I'll start with verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them who? Your wives. According to knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge you find in the owner's manual, God's Word. Now, you can live your life according to Oprah. You can live your life according to Dr. Phil or Dr. Ruth. You can live your life according to all of these secular people out there who have all of this advice. You can live your life according to Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey, brother man, wrote a book. Act like a woman, think like a man. I went and saw the movie. Steve Harvey will get you jacked up. Steve will get you jacked up. Because the information that he gives, even though he is a Christian brother, is not from the owner's manual. Okay? I saw the movie. I didn't want to read the book, you know, because I know some of the stuff that was in the book. And when I get to talking about sex, we'll talk about some of the stuff that he recommends that's not biblical. But you can live your life according to all these people who have all these good things to share. Or you can live your life according to the owner's manual, the manufacturer's instructions. And I found over the years that God knows what he's talking about, and his way works. Amen? Notice this. Likewise, your husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor. That means you value and esteem your wife highly, as unto the weaker vessel. Didn't say she was weak, but treat her like she is. As being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, here's where I ended last week. If you don't have right relationship with your wife or your husband at home, you're not going to be a spiritual superman, because it'll hinder your prayer life. And the model that we have for the marriage relationship is not your mama and your daddy or Uncle Fred and Cousin Pookie, but it's Jesus and the church. And the church is submitted to Jesus because Jesus loved the church so much he died for it. Husbands, I'll ask you a question. Are you willing to die for your wives? Are you willing to lay your life down to express your love for that woman? If you're not, you better not marry her. Are you with me? If you already married her, hey, you better be willing to lay your life down. Now, you will probably never be called to sacrifice to that degree. But if you're willing to love her with agape to the point where you will lay your life down for her, then it's much easier for you to make lesser decisions that will impact her life positively. And there are a lot of go, oh yeah, I love my wife, I'll lay my life down for her. Yeah, okay. All right. Then why don't you treat her the way she deserves to be treated? Amen? See, now I speak from experience because I was married to Peggy for 32 years. And one of the reasons that, and I've shared this before, this is nothing new, one of the reasons that I'm doing so well today is because I did everything right for 32 years. I got no regrets. There's nothing gnawing at the back of my mind. You should have told her you loved her. I did every day. You should have been there for her. I was there every day. You shouldn't have cheated on her. You shouldn't have stepped out on her. I never did. 32 years, not once. Now, if I can do it, you can do it. Are you with me? I'm no different than you. I have an anointing to teach it. I don't have an anointing to live it. I've got to live it just like you. See what I mean? And so you will probably never be called to go to that extreme to love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But that's the kind of love you need to have as a husband, as a leader in your home. Now, if you will love your wife with that kind of love, trust me, my friend, reception of authority is not a problem. Are you all with me? Okay, now let's look at some practical points. Notice verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you were thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Now, these are some very practical tools that you can take out of God's Word and use in your marriage relationship. Finally, be ye all of one mind. That means there has to be some agreement. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Having compassion one of another. Compassion's more than a feeling or just emotion. It is the love of God in action. See, love is not what you say. Love is what you do. It's one thing to say I love you. It's another thing to actually love somebody. All right? So all you young ladies, remember this. When you got that fine dude on the other end of the phone, he said, oh, I love you, baby. Tell him you're from Missouri. Show me. You with me? I'm from Missouri. Show me. It's one thing to say, it's another thing to do it. Okay, love has to be expressed. Now, notice this. I want to show you these practical points. All right, we're in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Having compassion one of another, love as brethren. Now, the word love here is not agape. It is philos. It's actually, in this verse, philadelphos. Love your wife, love your husband like you love a brother in Christ. Now, this is a very practical tool that you can use. Because many times when people get home, the closest thing, the closest relationship that you'll ever have on this earth, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, is your husband or your wife. And you get to know each other. You get to know all the things you don't like about the other person. And if you're not careful, your relationship becomes common. You know, oh, here we go again, the toothpaste squeezed from the middle. You know, here we go again, this, that, and the other, clothes on the floor, whatever. And what happens is, you begin to treat each other differently. And if you're not careful, you begin to slide down the road where you get into bickering, arguing, railing. That simply means you say something to me I don't like, I'm going to say something to you you don't like. You're going to bring up something about what happened last year, I'm going to bring up something that happened 5 years ago. And you start going at each other with this negative conversation. And that's something you wouldn't dare do in church with a brother and sister in Christ. See, we all come to church and we're all smiles. We got our masks on. How you doing, brother? Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Cussed each other out in the car on the way to church. I'm serious. Fuss each other all the way home. Well, here's a little tool that you can use. Watch the way you treat each other with your words. Love as brethren. One thing about my mother and father-in-law, Elder Carr and Mother Carr, and I don't know why they do this, but they have such a love for each other that Luella Carr doesn't call Fletcher by his first name. She calls him Elder Carr. And he doesn't call her by her first name. He calls her Sister Carr. I've known them for over 30 years. I'd be in their house and she'd say, Elder Carr, and he'd call her Sister Carr. Like they're in church. Now, I don't subscribe to that philosophy. I don't do that. Don't want that. The other day I was someplace, Saturday, got out of my car, I'm heading for this place, and somebody yells at me, hey, Pastor Dave! And I turn around and looked, it's my cousin. I said, Lorraine, how you doing? She said, good. I said, what you call me, Pastor? Just call me David. She said, well, I want to get your attention. I said, David will work. That's the name my mama gave me. All right, now I go by David or Bill, for some of you who didn't know. My name is William David Young. My dad wanted to name me Bill because his name was Bill. His dad's name was Bill. My grandfather on my mother's side, name was Bill, so Mama wanted to name me David. So my name's William David, and everybody called me Davy all my life growing up. I wasn't called Bill till I went to college. All right? But my point is simply this. You need to talk to one another in a way that expresses philadelphos, brotherly love. Okay, don't get so common with your spouse that you treat them like a stranger. Or like your enemy. See, that's where problems start. Notice the next part of the verse. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Now, what does it mean to be courteous? It simply means have a humble mind. Have a humble mind. That's talking about it in relating to your husband and to your wife. You know, as much as you think you're Superman, you ain't all that. And your husband or wife knows you ain't all that because they live with you. And so you need to have a humble mind. You know what a humble mind does? It esteems the other better than themselves. There have been times when I was married to Peggy that we had a disagreement and I knew I was right. And you guys ever been there? I knew I was right. But you know what I did? I had a humble mind and did not insist on getting my own way. Even when I knew I was right, I would humble myself to maintain that harmony and unity in my home. Are you with me? So you're always trying to prove that you're right and your way's best, you're going to have problems. All right? So keep that in mind. Let's read a little further. Watch this. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. You need to bless each other. Not fuss each other out all the time. Now, I've had the unfortunate privilege of listening to people and the way they talk to each other. And I've been shocked at times. The way people talk to their wives, talk to their husbands. I wouldn't talk to my worst enemy that way. But yet this is normal in their house. This is the way they talk to each other. Cuss each other out. Fuss each other up and down. Don't look at me like y'all so holy. I know better than that. That is not what God wants in your family. Bless each other. Sure, you'll have disagreements, but I'm going to show you how to rectify those things, okay? I remember a time when I was had moved to St. Louis. We're helping a friend of mine pioneer a church in University City, Missouri. So we moved my family and another family to, we bought a little house in Hanley Hills. And we're helping this brother start a church. And my wife was not fond of St. Louis. I loved it. I mean, you could eat at a different restaurant every night of the year and never hit the same place twice. It was great. If my son wanted to go to a Cardinals baseball game, boom, I'm there in 25 minutes, could get home in 20. It was fabulous. Peggy didn't like St. Louis. Too fast for her. And so I got a job as a rep for a pharmaceutical company, and so I had to go out and make calls from 8 to 5. It was a great job. They gave me a company car, expense account, all the good stuff. And so I'd leave in the morning, and as I'm on my way out the door, Peggy would say, I'd say, love you, baby. She said, love you. She said, when are you going to quit that job? Well, I'm in sales. That don't work. When are you going to quit that job? And it would bother me all day long. And so one day I finally said, I said, look, and this is the conversation that I had with Peggy. I said, listen to me. You're the most important thing in my life. You're more important than the ministry. You're more important than the job. I can always get another job. I can always get involved in another ministry, but I can't replace you. I said, so if that has to go, it'll go. You're the most important thing in my life. Now, when I shared that with her, everything changed. I said, but there's one thing you got to help me with. She said, what? I said, you don't ask me when I'm going to quit the job. I'm on my way out the door. I said, you got to bless me, baby. I got to go out there. I got to do this stuff. I got to bring some income into the house. And so we started blessing each other. So I love you, bless you, love you, you be blessed. You see what I mean? And so bless each other. Don't fuss each other out. This is your covenant partner for life. All right? In a marriage relationship. This is the relationship like Jesus in the church. Jesus loved the church so much, he laid his life down for it and gave himself for it. And so we ought to at least have that much respect for each other. Bless each other. Don't fuss each other or cuss each other if you want to have a vibrant marriage relationship. Now, notice this. For he that will love life, verse 10, and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Now, the word refrain literally means to stop. And so if you've been in the mode of fussing each other out, arguing and cussing each other out, here's a simple tool that you can use. Stop it. It needs to end. You stop it. Because you're destroying the foundation of your relationship. You'll see that here in a minute. But notice this. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Now that phrase is full of wisdom. It's full of wisdom. I'll read it again. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Now, what does it mean to eschew evil? You find that word in the Old Covenant in the book of Job. It said Job was a perfect and upright man, one who feared God and eschewed evil. That word eschew simply means as you're walking down the path of life, as you face a temptation, whether to sin or to do evil, here's what it means to eschew. There's temptation. You know what eschew means? You turn around, you go the other way. You have an opportunity to fuss and cuss and act ugly. You know what you do? You turn around, you do the opposite. You go the other way. You refuse to go there. Y'all learning anything? Eschew evil. Do good and turn away from it. Just make a decision. I'm not going there. Now, there have been times I've had to do that with people in life where they want to fly all up in my face and act ugly. And one time I had a guy cuss me out. I went in, sat down beside him. He started dropping F-bombs and you F-ing this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 blah. I'm serious. I'm sitting right next to it. And so he cussed me out for like a minute and a half, 2 minutes. And so his wife was sitting right beside him. And he just jumps all this garbage on me, right? And so I let a long, uncomfortable pause settle in. And I looked at him, put my hand on his shoulder. I said, "Are you okay? Are you all right?" His wife, sitting next to him, slapped him right upside the head. Oh, bam! "What's wrong with you?" Oh, that was great. She slapped him right upside the head. "What's wrong with you?" And then the guy started apologizing. Well, I had another instance one time when a fella cussed me out. I'm standing out in public on the sidewalk. And I didn't particularly feel receptive to a cussing out session that day. And this old man's cussing at me. And you know what thought ran through my mind? I could knock this sucker out and just leave him laying right flat in the sidewalk. I'm serious. It would have been nothing to take this dude out. Or I can walk away. And you know what I did, don't you? I turned around and walked away. I said, I'm sorry you feel that way. Turn around and walked off. I could have hurt him. You know, hey, you guys think the same thing. And some of y'all have done it. That's what got you in trouble. Okay? Some of y'all have done it. But I just made a decision. I'm not going there. Turned around and walked away. So that's what it means to eschew evil. Now, watch this. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. In a marriage relationship, in any kind of relationships, invariably you're going to have disagreements. What you need to do is resolve the thing as soon as you can. Seek peace and ensue it. The word ensue means to follow immediately. That simply means when you have a disagreement, you don't let it fester for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years. See, normally when a marriage relationship blows up, it's not necessarily because of some big mamu that came down the road. It's a bunch of little stuff that went unattended to, or a lack of discipline in somebody's life, and they're getting into areas they shouldn't get into. Are you with me? Now, let me share this with you, and let me be careful how I say this. But let me tell you this. Having been married to one woman for 32 years, it's the most precious thing you'll ever experience on the earth. It can be the closest thing to heaven that you experience on this earth. Or it can be the closest thing to hell. It just depends on what you do with it. But once it's gone, you realize how precious it is. Y'all with me? So don't neglect your spouse. Take these tools out of the toolbox and use them. Notice verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to the prayers. He hadn't changed the subject. God is observing the way you treat your spouse in your marriage relationship. And his ears are open to your prayers. And if you don't use the tools that God has given you, it's going to hinder your prayer life. And you're going to have issues and problems that will go on for years and years and years and years. Are you with me? I don't know about you, but I like taking care of stuff and I like being blessed. Amen? Okay. Now, let's shift gears a little bit. I'm going to have you turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. You guys enjoying this? Okay. John chapter 15. Okay. All right. I'm trying not to go too long today, but I got a lot of stuff to cover. John chapter 15. And let's start with verse 12. There are three main areas in any marriage relationship that can be a source of problems. And normally, when marriages encounter difficulty, it's one of these three areas. Communication, sex, or money. So we're going to talk about the communication part. We've shared a little bit about love and relationships, but I want to go a little further and show you something and then give you some practical points that you can use. John chapter 15. Remember our model for the marriage relationship? The relationship between Jesus and the church. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. As the church is submitted to Christ, so should wives be to their own husbands and everything. So we have that model relationship, Jesus and the church. Let me show you something else about that relationship. John 15, beginning with verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Notice this, as I have loved you. So we have a model for that love, agape. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. From now on, I call you not servants, for the servant doesn't know what his Lord does, but I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Go back to verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant doesn't know what his Lord does, but I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now, let's go over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Notice verse 13. John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and will show it unto you. Now, here we have a classic example of how Jesus relates to you and me as the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church. Jesus is holding nothing back from you. He said, all things that the Father has are mine. And I'm going to take of mine and reveal it, show it to you. That, my friends, is ultimate communication. And then he says that the Holy Spirit would come and show you these things. And so if there's one thing that is the life's blood of any marriage relationship or a family relationship, it is communication. And I have found as a pastor over the years, and other pastors experience the same thing, that's one area where marriages encounter difficulty. Because people don't communicate the way they should. Now, I've known of families that were so dysfunctional that husbands and wives were passing each other and never talking to each other. You know, I mean, it really, really, really bad. Now, our model is Jesus in the church. He shares everything with the church. As husbands and wives, you need to share everything with each other. I'm talking about communication. If something happens in a relationship or in your family situation that you don't like, you need to talk about it. And don't wait 5 years, you know. Deal with it immediately. Here's one thing that I prescribe to couples often. And some of you have been in some of my counseling sessions, and I'm sure you've heard it. But you need to take time to communicate. You need to make an appointment, if necessary, to communicate. What do I mean communicate? That means you sit down, it's you and your spouse, get rid of the kids, send them to grandma's, send them to Chuck E. Cheese, whatever you got to do. And you need to share and talk about the things that you're experiencing in life. And you need to seek peace and follow it immediately. And see, the problem is many times people don't communicate because they don't want to get their feelings hurt. Well, listen, we need to grow up. We need to put on our big boy pants. And you need to communicate. Take your feelings off your cuffs. Quit getting offended if your wife or your husband says something to you that you're not fond of. Are you with me? See, when I was married to Peggy, she'd tell me things that you wouldn't dare say to me. You better not. But she could, because she's my wife and she loves me and has my best interest at heart. I remember getting ready to go someplace one time. She said, whatever that is, you need to get that off. I said, what do you mean? She said, it stinks. I said, what? You know, I don't know what kind of cologne it was or whatever. She said, that stuff stinks. You need to get rid of that. One time I was going someplace, she said, your breath stinks, boy. So your wife can say that to you. Well, I knew what to do. Go freshen up. Come on, y'all laughing. One One time, I'm not going to say who this was. One time I had a guest come to my home. This is many, many years ago. Guest minister. And he wanted to go someplace. And he put on some pants that looked like an elephant had slept on them for a month. And we're heading out the door. And I'm looking at his pants. I said, "Bruh, you ain't going no place with me looking like that." He said, "Huh?" I said, "Uh-uh. No, no. No, you wear them out in public, I don't know you." Well, I'm trying to help the man out. See what I mean? But we need to have times. Look, if you love that person so much, you're willing to commit the rest of your life to them, you need to get to know them. You need to communicate. Okay? Now, young people, if you're not married, you're contemplating getting married, don't rush into it. You need to spend a lot of time communicating with getting to know this person. All right? Get to know this person. You need to spend time talking to them, listening to them. Are you with me? Spending time with them so you know how they think and how they act and how they react before you enter into a covenant marriage relationship with them. All right? Because here's a little gem for you. Marriage is not a reformation project. You know what that means? What you see is what you get. Wasn't there a song that said that? There's what you see is what you get. Dun, 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 dun. Come on, I can see it. Dun, 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 dun. Remember that? What you see is what you get. If you don't like what you see, don't marry it. Because it ain't going to change. Are you with me? Are you ladies out there? Say, "Hey."
Hey.
I can't tell you how many times I've talked to young ladies and I said, "Tell me about this guy." "Well, Pastor Bill, he's got an issue with this. He's got an issue with that. He's got an issue with..." "Oh, really? And you going to marry that?" "Well, I just believe the Lord's going to change him." Wake up! He ain't changing. Now, I realize God does intervene from time to time and change people's hearts. But for the most part, it ain't going to happen. If you don't like what you see, don't marry it, because that's all you're going to get. Are y'all with me? Gets quiet when you teach like this, you know? But it's good stuff anyhow. All right, here's some practical points. And write this verse down. Write these two verses down. You don't have to turn there, but I want you to remember these. Amos 3:3 says this: "How can two walk together except they be agreed?" You need to have some points of agreement in your life with whoever you decide to spend the rest of your life with. That simply means to consent or to be in harmony with. And if you don't know somebody, how can you be in harmony with them? You haven't spent enough time knowing them. All right? And so you need to communicate prior to making that kind of commitment, number one. Number two, Psalm 133, verses 1 and 2. And it talks about the anointing. "How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity." It's like the oil that ran down Aaron's beard. The oil represented the anointing. And when a man and a wife live and walk together in unity, they have good, open, honest communication. They are one in purpose, one in mind. That's where the anointing kicks in to get things done. Are you with me? The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. When you have this operating in your home, in your marriage, I'm telling you, the anointing will be there to get stuff done. The anointing will be there to get stuff done. Agreement amplifies the power of God to get things done. Agreement amplifies the power of God to get things done. Here's some practical tools that you can use. You ready? Number one, open, honest, frank communication. Don't hide anything. You with me? Now, when I say don't hide anything, that doesn't mean you go on a scavenger hunt. You know what I mean when I say that? "Who was you with back in 1962? Come on, get over it. You know, "I remember you dated Sally in high school." Come on, get over it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about things that you are currently dealing with. You need to be open, you need to be honest, you need to be frank. I sat down the other day with my mother-in-law. And I'm minding my own business. That woman got all up in my business. Got all up in my business. And afterwards, she apologized. Well, son, I apologize for getting all up in your business. I said, Mom Carr, listen, my mother's gone. I've always respected and treated you like a mother. She said, I've always treated you like a son. I said, anytime you ask me anything, I'll always be honest with you because I got nothing to hide. So at any time you want to talk to me about anything, I'm here for you. Are you with me? Well, a husband and wife need to at least have that kind of communication where everything's on the table and you don't hide anything from anybody. You all with me?
Amen.
Number two, set aside time to talk. Communication is the life's blood of relationship. Don't live your life passing each other, never talking about these things, never dealing with issues. If something's bothering you, get it on the table. Okay? And just know that your spouse has your best interest at heart. If she says something, he says something you don't like, take your feelings off your cuff. Grow up. We're out of kindergarten now. We're out of the third grade. This is adult stuff. Okay? If your husband or your wife can't say something to you that's very pointed, that might prick your feelings a little bit, then you're a little immature. You need to grow up. You need to deal with this stuff. Y'all with me? Set aside time to talk, even if you have to schedule appointments. But you always need to have that time where you're communicating with your spouse. Now listen, here's something about communication that you need to know. Men are headliners. Men like headlines. What'd you do today? Went to work. Women like details. What'd you do today? Well, I went here, did this, that, and the other, then I did that and the other, you know. Well, listen, guys, look, if you want to have good communication with your spouse or with your wife, you got to listen to details, bruh. Don't stop at the headlines. When your wife is talking to you, she wants details. She don't want headlines. Wives, you got to understand, you know, you're pulling a man through a eye of a needle, man, getting all the details out of him. Because men are headliners. They like to deal with headlines. But you got to find a way to compromise so that you can communicate effectively. All right? Because your wife wants more from you than just the headlines. What'd you do today? Went to work. I used to get asked all kinds of questions. Who'd you see today? I mean, what do you mean, who'd I see today? I didn't see anybody. I saw a lot of people, you know. I didn't know who they were. Well, what she really wanted to know is, did you run into anybody that you knew? And so I learned how to adjust and learn how to adapt. Because I knew she wanted more. Then what'd you do today? Went to work. Well, duh, she knows that. But she wants details, man. What'd you do? Tell me about your day. You see what I mean? Now, if you ask a woman those questions, you ask your wife those, you're going to get the details. Because she's going to give them to you, right? You need to have enough sense, guys, to listen. All right? You need to have enough sense to listen. Okay, another practical point. Control your feelings. Control your feelings. You know, we live by faith, not by sight. That also means we live by faith, not by feelings. So if somebody says something to you and your feelings get hurt, get over it. Be mature. Walk in the Spirit and don't let your flesh rule the day. Control your feelings. Here's another practical point when it comes to good communication. Be motivated by love. Be motivated by love. I've known couples, boy, the only reason they communicated because they had a good jab they're about to lay on somebody. Oh yeah, I'm going to bust him up with this one. See what I mean? Well, this is not Ali Frazier, 1972. This is your marriage relationship and God is watching. So you need to communicate effectively. You need to be motivated by love. Before you say something, you need to think about, is this based on agape? Or is this based on something else? So think before you speak. Here's another one. Be teachable. Everybody say teachable.
Teachable.
You know what that simply means? That simply means you don't know everything. Now, I'll show you this. It's a classic example that was mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 3. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Whose daughters are you, as long as you do well or not afraid with any amazement? You know, there came a time in Abraham and Sarah's life where they had a big disagreement. Sarah said to Abraham, I want Hagar and Ishmael out of my house. I want them out. The Bible says it grieved Abraham. He wasn't going to do it. But in Genesis chapter 21, the Lord showed up and said to Abraham, the patriarch of faith, listen to what your wife told you to do. Do everything she told you to do because I'm going to take care of Ishmael. Listen to your wife. And Abraham did it. That was a lesson I had to learn, but thank God I learned it early. I learned it early that my wife knew some things that I didn't know. See, I don't care who you are, Mr. Rocket Scientist, you don't know it all. And many times your wife, your spouse will see things that you don't see. That's why you're together. You complement each other. But if you're going to be headstrong and be a bull in the china closet, I ain't listening to no woman, you're destined to fail, Jack. You're going down. You're going down and you're going to crash hard. Be teachable. None of us knows everything. And many times God will work through your spouse to get to you. All right, here are the last 2 points. Invest time in each other. Things that you find really valuable and precious, you invest time in them, don't you? How many of you guys like football? I mean, really like football. How many hours a week do you, guys and ladies, how many hours a week do you invest in football when it's the season? Your favorite team is on. Do you watch the whole game? Do you watch the whole game? And the after show? And the before show? Well, things that you care about, you invest time in. You need to invest time in your marriage relationship. You need to invest time in your spouse. We invest time in so much other stuff and neglect what God has given us that's right there. You need to invest time in it. Are you with me? And it'll pay off. And here's the last thing I want to point out to you, and then we'll move on to something else in 2 weeks. Marcel and Evelyn will be here next week. And that is called this, and it goes in, coincides with investing time in each other. I call it the law of attention. You know what the law of attention says? Your desires, listen to this now, your desires always follow your attention. Your desires always follow your attention. And so if you pay attention to the right thing or the right person, your desires will naturally flow that way. But if you're paying attention to the wrong thing and the wrong person, your desires will flow that way and now you've got a problem. So I have learned over the years to pay attention to my wife and ignore everybody else. Are y'all with me? That doesn't mean I'm not personable, doesn't mean I'm not kind. It simply means I don't pay attention to other women. I've learned how to do that over 30-some years. And so when a woman gets in my face and says, you know, I'll go to bed with you and nobody will know but us, I can smile and say, no, thank you. Been there, done that. I've had to do that on many occasions. All right? Because I'm used to doing that. You see what I mean? And so you ever wonder why, you know, things happen and somebody runs off with somebody? Desires follow attention. Desires follow attention. Learn to pay attention to your spouse. Instead of that young thing in the office that looks so fine and so cute. Hey, this is where we all live, you know. I remember once I was in an office setting and a lady in the office walked by and another guy said to me, hey, Bill, check that out. I said, what? He said, you see those? I said, what? He says, I wonder if they're real. He's talking about her breasts. I said, I don't know if they're real or not. They ain't mine. I ain't studying it. You know what I mean? I don't care if they're real or not. They're not mine. Y'all with me? This is where we live. I'm not paying attention to her breasts. They're not mine. I don't care. Your desires follow your attention. If you'll pay attention to your spouse, pay attention to your husband, pay attention to your wife, your desires will flow accordingly. All right? But when you start paying attention to stuff you got no business paying attention to, that's how you get in trouble. Amen? And that's a good place to quit. Amen? Would you all stand with me, please? Oh, yeah. Good time.